I want to thank you for joining in with us on this Thursday, this 19th day of May. You know, and certainly we glad to be back. I see that I see our team is joining in. You know, team, we need to you need to come up with a name. So, you know, so you think about that before our next episode. You know, but as you heard, you know, our topic today is going to be talking about getting booed up. You know, it's a legitimate conversation to have. There's questions that people have. I've been approached by a number of young people asking questions, you know, and asking for opinion, advice, you know, on different things. And so we're gonna touch on some of that today, but you know, I want to read this, and then we're gonna have a quick word of prayer, led by Deacon Hampton. And so, you know, the scripture says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." And so David was about to leave here. He realized he was up in age. You know, life is a temporary assignment. That's why we want to do things the right way, you know, so that when we step out of time and into eternity, we have a different expectation. We can have an expectation at that point. And so he was instructing his son, and a lot of us have received instructions saying man up, you know, in different ways, you know, be a man, and, you know, all kind of vernacular is being used. But how do we actually do that? How do we actually do that? I'm sure women are told the same thing. You know, we have with us this evening Mama Jay. So glad able to jump in with us. I don't think we could really have a proper discussion about being booed up if you know, if we're gonna stick to using that term or whatever term you want to use, having a friend or something in the church, you know, without having the voice of a queen, you know, to give an opinion. Therefore, is not one sided or biased in any kind of way. And so, with that being said, come on, Hap, lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you to come in the midst of these here, your people, Lord. Lord, we ask you to word our mouth, Lord Jesus. Let us hallelujah. Let us say something that would touch someone's heart, Lord. Let us hallelujah be on one accord, Lord Jesus. And let us do stuff decent and in a hearty, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless all the participants, Lord Jesus. Touch each one. You know the petitions that we have up before you, Lord. Bless hallelujah the call-ins, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let us do it in your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sound like Ham still on fire from a previous service there.
Hey, Lord is good.
That's good. It's good to hear that. And it's good to see those embers burning. You know, those that are tuning in, those that will be listening later, you know, we always have to be mindful that this is a podcast, and this podcast is live right now, and it will be in the archives and available for others to listen to at their convenience. You know, our previous podcasts that we've done, people have listened in and have been blessed by what they heard. They're right after it posted. Through the weeks, people were still listening to it. And so that just lets us know that we have to dig in and, you know, be ready and handle things as they should be handled. You know, we're not know-it-alls. We're not trying to be know-it-alls. We're just kicking some things around that we've heard, that others have heard, and sharing some knowledge and experience that we have had through our own lives, or maybe through observation.
That's right.
And so, you know, and so that's where we are now. If in this, on this particular form, this is not a Bible class, this is not a church service, this is a discussion. But however, our foundation and what we believe is the word of God, and this is, and that's what governs our hearts, and so and keeps us in check. You know, what we would do, we don't do.
Yes.
You know, so we've learned, we've matured and came to a good understanding. And our prayer is that those that are listening, those that are listening later, would have arrived with that same conclusion. Or maybe you're on that path and looking for truth and looking for, you know, how to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Which is our reasonable service, the minimal thing that we should be doing in our lives. And so we're going to jump right into this. We're not going to, don't want to prolong the discussion or anything, but appreciate everybody jumping on. And, you know, not certainly in this form, it is not about having a politically correct answer.
That's right.
You know, so, if you're so spirit filled, you know, that you can't have a legitimate discussion, then this isn't for you. Listen in, you know, but at the same time, give your opinion, you know, say what you got to say. But, you know, if you're trying to be politically correct, that's not going to work, because you're not politically correct all the time. Say what's on your mind. Say what's in your heart. It could be correct, you know, and someone else certainly need to hear what you have to say, or the question that you may have. And so we've been, as I said, I was approached by a young man. And this young man is in his mid late 20s, and he was saying, "Hey, you know, what do we do in church? You know, how do you date in church?" You know, someone else asked me, they said, "Hey," they said, "Do you shop around?" And my response to them was that, yes, I go shopping for a car. I go shopping for clothes, you know, so yes, my eyes are for that. And I'm not jumping in any, the seat of any vehicle. And I'm not trying to squeeze into something that, that I shouldn't be wearing either.
All right.
So, you know, so that's a legitimate concern. And that is dating in church. Now, I don't think they necessarily meant the church that they were attending. I don't know. But, you know, that is a question as far as how do we date in the church? What do we do when we see someone that we're interested in? You know, how do we act once that conversation have gone forward? And you know, and there's a number of things, and I'm just gonna tell you this that I heard from a church member one time, and that was you ought to taste the pudding before you get married.
And you know, that's the way they used to think too. You know, a lot of people tell you that you don't even need to get married nowadays. So they say it's just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. But before we get to that paper, how do we get there? You know, we gotta you know, it's just like making toast. You're gonna get a slice of bread. You're gonna put it in the toaster. You're going to press the button down. You're going to set it. You're going to set the degrees on it to make it light or dark. When it pop up, you're going to take it out and put butter on it, you know, before you ingest it. So how do we get there? What should we do when we see someone in church or outside of church? Because what if the church you attend, though, there's no one there that is of interest to you? You know, or whatever the reason is, where do we even start?
You know, that's the hard part right there. You know, today's people, everybody do stuff online now.
Right.
But, you know, they go to the little dating apps and they do this and they do that.
and you know, they meet people on these apps, and you don't know these people from Adam, for one. You don't know if the people are crazy. Because there was, I just heard this 13-year-old girl was on one of these apps, met some guy, and the guy kidnapped her.
Mm. Wow. Uh-huh.
You know, by the grace of God, she got away and you know, and was safe. But that's how a lot of the young people nowadays, because they so, you know, everything is online. Everything is, you know, what's the word I'm trying to use? Everything is media-based. You know, folks don't even talk to each other no more. So that's the hard, that's one of the hard parts. And then if you do meet somebody in the church, now you need someone to guide you actually on how to pursue that person, what you can and what you can't do. You got to be, you just got to be, you know, real to people and tell them the truth. You know, because we don't believe, I won't go there, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Nope, I don't know what you're trying to say, and I don't know if our audience do either.
Okay, so on some, let me just put it as some churches are strict where, you know, they don't allow dating. Period. So, you know, then that becomes a situation where you sneaking behind, not letting people know what's going on. Because you don't want to confront, you know, you don't want to break whatever the rules or regulations of that church.
Okay, so what is your thought, team, on how that should be handled? You know, and yeah, I hear what you're saying, Hamp. You know, yeah, there are places that are so strict that they have made some things ungodly.
They made them taboo.
Mm-hmm. So how should, you know, here we are on the 19th day of May in 2022, and you're talking to your daughter who goes to a church or your son or, you know, our listeners. How should that be dealt with?
Like I said, for one, we need to tell them the truth. But that, you know, they got to be willing to come to first. They got to be willing to come to us and let us know what's going on. That's the first thing. And we just have to be truthful and tell them what's the consequences of their actions.
Okay, so I hear what you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, and certainly. Is that, you know, if you see someone that you're interested in, you should go to your pastor and talk to them.
Yeah. Or, you know, or pastor, deacon, minister, someone in charge. Let me go that way. Because most people may not go to the pastor.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, go to, you know, a mother or a minister. And then, you know, if the minister deems that it is called for, then he could bring it, you know, before the pastor.
All right. So I my takeaway on that is, if you are in a respectable place where there is someone respectable that you can approach.
Yes.
Because you have some that are not
approachable.
Approachable than some that are, because they are human and they still working out their soul salvation, they may not be the best person to go to. Now we have Mama J on because she is a respectable person.
Yes.
And highly respected by many. You know, my two daughters hold her on a pedestal, you know, as being a woman. And, you know, a matter of fact, let me just say this. Mama Jake, you're going to have to talk to us here because she is the ministry, Tailored Women.
Yes.
So, you know, just the name itself speaks volumes.
I hear you. I don't know if I could live up to all of that, but as far as dating in the church, of course, I'm a little old fashioned. And, you know, I come from a place right now where the church that I go to, there's very few men in the church. And both men that are in our church, they are married. So when we start talking about dating in the church, number one, some churches really don't have a social platform for singles to even mingle, you know, to get acquainted with other people to date. And I was, you know, I've been thinking about this since you asked me, and it's kind of hard because when we talk about being booed up, you're not going to be booed up in the church. Because that particular area is very touchy. And when we talk about dating in the church, how many people can one man date before he figures out maybe she's the one? And then how many women can date up different men before they figure out, well, this is the one? Because in my mind, I'm thinking that, you know, men can date because they are attracted to a woman. But when it comes down to women, women might date because they are attracted and they have potential. You know, they're thinking that this may be somebody that I could potentially be with for the rest of my life. So men have attraction, but they don't always have attachment. But women think so differently. If you're dating me and you want to date me, you know, and you know, sometimes that's why they say women can be fickle, but we're just wired different. If, you know, somebody wants to date you and they have interest in you, you know, then sometimes women will automatically think this man is attracted to me, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Women, I think women are different. And we do have to be mindful because men and women become prey in the church. You know, some men are looking for, you know, a good woman, and definitely women are looking for good men. And you know what? I don't think it's going to be, you know, like going from one woman to the next.
Well, I like what you said there because, you know, the intention, dealing with the intention, and I think that goes into the area of where the minister, whoever is ministering, has to stress that so that it is a known part of the fabric. It's woven within the church so that everyone that is a member or those listening to the ministry understand that piece of fabric, and you know, and don't so that don't come here trying to prey upon a brother or sister because someone is going to discern that and say something about it. You know, then it becomes the responsibility of the individual that's being approached to make sure to protect themselves and not give in to that. And so, you know, what we used to call the deacons and associate ministers sheepdogs, so to speak, to protect. And if you cannot, going back to what was said earlier, if that individual is not willing to talk to the pastor or talk to the minister or the deacon, you know, someone in a respectable position about what their intentions are or the fact that they see someone that they're interested, you know, you need to ask because that person that you may be looking at may be off limits at the moment.
Right.
You know, the pastor may say, no, I don't think that's good. They're still being worked on.
Right.
You know, and then you have to listen to that and govern yourselves accordingly if you are a respectable person. You know, if your intentions are well. And so, no, we cannot, you know, jump, you know, be like a sailor and have a ship at every port. We can't do that. And, you know, so.
And also, like you said, you know, the church has to be, has some discernment in the matter and watching what's going on inside the church too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we have to, as adults and as people, you know, ministers and deacons or whatever that's been through this. I mean, you know, we can see what's going on in the church. We're not that blind where you can't see if somebody came in and say you had a bunch of young ladies and this guy just joined the church.
He's going to be watching.
Like we should be watching. We can see this guy, what's his intentions. Let me say it that way.
Okay, yeah.
And it's not just for the young people, it's for the older women as well. You have single older women in the church. And you have a man that comes in the church, and the first thing you got women jumping up, shouting and praying. down. But you know, it's just, I mean, it's human behavior, and even with our young people. Now we've had our young girls to get pregnant in the church, and I always, if they confide in me, I don't put them down. You know what I always tell them, and that was to any of the kids that we know that have come through our church. I was like, you know what? Everybody's human. We all have emotions. And what happens sometimes is you just put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to just kind of drop. You have to be able to teach. We have to be able to teach the young women. And it's not like I know so much, you know. It's not like I know everything, because being a single woman in the church, you know, I still desire to be married. And I don't think I want to. I don't want to date around, because I think I'm past that phase. So I don't want to go dating around. I don't want to date this man, that man, go here, go there. You know, I want someone to be attracted to me, and I want to be attracted to him. And then we see where that goes. But your emotions, when you get your emotions involved in too many places, things are not going to go well for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Things won't go well. You know, we can't function emotionally. That's why we have so many issues. We got the emotional spending, the emotional eating, you know, all those emotional things have resorted in some type of derailment of one time or another. And once we get back on track, you know, and that's why I like this particular forum, because we can talk about those things, you know, and hopefully those that are listening, they'll know, or from their own experience, that, hey, you know what, you was right, that didn't feel good, and so I won't do that again. You know, our listeners want you to know you can join in, you can comment. The line is open for your comments, or, you know, or your own testimony or experience. Or you can email us at focus@connectingtruth.org, and we will respond to your email. You know, I noticed that DW and Mr. T has been real quiet here. Y'all ghosting us? What's up? What's going on?
No, well, what crossed my mind is you were sitting there talking about dating apps. And I know it was brought up that you never know what the intentions are of the other person that's on the dating app. Right? Like, you got the Christian apps.
Speak up a little louder, please.
All right. Like, you got the Christian apps, the Christian dating apps that they've been advertising recently. You don't know what the intentions are of the person that's on the other end. You don't know if that person is just on the app that's not really a Christian, or they're a Christian in heart, but they don't go to church, or, you know, they might be there to get you. You start dating them, and they actually drives you away from the church, your relationship with God.
I've heard of that.
Be careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to listen. You got to be careful because folks are pretend to be whatever you want them to pretend to be.
That's right.
You know, folks will come in. I'm all about the church. But you know, that's sheep and wolf clothing.
Uh-huh.
They come in for a whole different reason, but they're gonna play the game until they get what they get, what they come to get. So, and that's one thing that, as you know, parents and as mentors and as just concerned adults, we have to watch out for, even just like Mother Jay said, for even the grown folk.
That's right. Because
once you get emotions into something, you ain't thinking clear. So you can know stuff is not right, but if you get all emotional and all caught up, you do some dumb stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, we all have done some dumb stuff in our lives.
Yeah, I concur. You know, you have to pray about things. And I know everybody's like, oh, pray. But God, if you listen to God, he will direct you. I can tell you that I've been in a situation where I've had emotional feelings for someone and I prayed about it. And God says, and we get love and stuff. When I say, if I say I love you, I'm talking about I love you with a godly love. And God will teach you how to love. And I had feelings for this person, but God directed me as to how to love him. It wasn't the type of love that I thought that I wanted. It was a godly love.
All right.
So there's things. So, you know, sometimes people, God will put people into your lives because of who you are. And I've talked to guys, even my friends, you know, they talk to me because they always say they find peace. You know, they find peace when they talk to me, or they can come to me and tell me just about anything. And, you know, and I can direct them. But, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, like, you know, I don't want to be anybody's, start paying me. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to be your psychiatrist.
Right.
I'm going to need to get paid.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't mind being your piece, but you know what? You're going to have to start paying me.
Got to get a piece of that bread, though.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, a lot of excellent points, you know, that you're talking about, you know, and I was laughing because, there was a commercial that they used to say Christians do mingle, you know, and referring to these dating apps and stuff. But let's say you do meet someone, you meet someone, and let's say that you have permission, you know, you've talked to who you need to talk with and everything, and you know, and now you are dating. How do I date? Is when I think of dating, you know, is it the same as if you were not in church?
No.
How is that different in any kind of way?
Are you talking about boundaries?
However you want to address it.
Not only boundaries, but where can you go? Where can you take your date when you go out?
Yeah. Now I know back in the day,
that's what I was about to say. Back in the day, you didn't go nowhere without a chaperone.
You shouldn't, you know, you were told not to go nowhere without a chaperone, Matt. And you were told you couldn't go to, some of y'all may know, and I'm aging it right now, but I've heard people say you can't go to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, even though they went home and watched the same movie on their VCR and stuff. You know, all of that sort of thing. How do you date? You know, if you can't go nowhere, you're going to wind up sitting at home. If you wind up sitting at home alone,
you can do the same thing at home than you can do in a theater or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about control because, you know, once you start, let's just start it. Once you start dating, say two people that go out to date. Now it's only so far. So long that I'm gonna put it on the brothers, but some women are the same way that, you can go so long with just holding hands. And not doing anything else.
You get the whole hands? Make a note of that.
You're holding hands. Then holding hands lead to, okay, I want to get a kiss.
Is that on the first date?
Hey, when you hold hands on the first, you hold hands on the first date?
I'm asking you, is that on the first date? Because in my mind, when I'm dating someone, and you all can correct me if I'm wrong, because as I said earlier, I think men are able to date more women than women are able to date men because of the way we think. So if I'm dating someone, and yeah, I can hold hands on the first date. But you know what? If there's got to be some talking, and there's got to be some, you know, now I'm starting to interview. Look, that's just not no. Starting the interview process. But yeah, I understand holding hands on the first date, you know, that's cool. But you know, I need to know, not right off the bat, I don't want to start grilling anybody, but I want to know what is your aim with me? Where do you see yourself? Why are we dating? What do you want? What are you looking for in a person?
Now, you thinking. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're asking what his intentions are, correct?
Exactly. Thank you. Couldn't get that word out.
But you thinking in our day.
Well, that's the only day we have is today.
No, I'm talking about when we was dating.
Okay, but let's bring it to today.
These kids nowadays, they don't even have to know each other to hook up. I can meet you today and we doing a dude same day.
Yeah, because that's a society. That is the way the society is in this day and time. And what I would try to project is that, you know a person. But you know what, like someone was saying earlier, you know, nowadays, I think it was you, Deacon Hampton, you know, marriage is not even pushed like it was when we were coming up. You need to be married. You should be married. And I mean, and we were encouraged to date when we were coming up. But you know, I'm older. So we have to, you know, we got to figure this thing out for the young people.
Yeah, because they're not looking long term.
All right, so you said something that is a key, and that is, and it's something that has to be instilled in the hearts of everyone, and that is talking. That whole process, you know, you called it an interview process, and I'm with you. I totally agree. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that to drill someone. And there's a, you know, we know how to be tactful, and you know, if a person's intention is cool, it might catch them off guard because you caught them with that a little earlier or was two steps ahead of them and bringing up a specific conversation about what your intentions are compared to waiting, you know. But if you don't talk, if you don't open up that communication, you dishonoring, I think it's a injustice to yourself.
Can I share something with you, gentlemen? I was introduced to a man. This man was, you know.
What?
Yeah, I was. but wait, you gotta hear me out. You gotta hear me out. I was introduced to this man. He was interested in me. And so, you know, we talked on the telephone And, you know, he asked me about my life and he asked me some things and I was totally honest with him. And when he asked me about church, I let him know that I was a minister and that, you know, and what I believed in. And that was the last time I talked to him.
Right, right, right.
He said, that's not my type.
Yeah, no.
Because see, he's looking for physical action.
Exactly.
He ain't looking for a whole bunch of talking and all that stuff. He looking for physical action.
Yeah, he asked me if I believed in hell. I said, I most certainly do. And you know, and so, you know, that was it. But I would not say anything different about my life because I am who I am. I'm not going to pretend to be someone, you know, just so you can like me. This man, he was very wealthy, you know, and money does not really impress me. I want to know about your character. Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of women fail to look at. I want to know the character of a person. I don't care about your bank account. I don't care about what you drive, because at the end of the day, it's about how we're going to communicate and how you're going to treat me.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say my daughter, she asked me and we've always had this open relationship and, that if you meet a guy, and especially if he throw them words out there, how much he care about you and all that, and tell him he need to tell me how much he love you. And so as things kind of went on into the relationship, she asked me, what am I looking for in a guy? What are my concerns? You know, and so, as you talk about that, when you talk about character, that brought that up. What is the concern? The concern is the character of that individual.
And you know, I was always brought up, you look at a guy, how he treats his mother and his sisters. Mm-hmm. Now, if a guy shows respect to his mother and his sisters, he's going to respect you. A lot of guys, they just don't respect women. I can't put everybody in that. Some guys, let me put it that way. Because you can't put everybody in the same boat. But if a guy disrespects his mama, he definitely ain't going to respect you.
That's right. That's right.
And like you said, it's all about character. You got to look at a guy. You got to look beyond his looks. It's like Mother J was says, behind the physique, all that stuff. Because like I said, people will show you what you want to see until they get what they want.
Right. And you'll never know a person.
100%.
Right. And, you know, and it takes time. It takes time to really know a person because there are some things that I found out about some people, and it took years for me to really recognize it and to know. And then, you know, you just, this is a very hard subject because, you know, a lot of things are hidden from the natural eye. That's why you have to have a connection with God. That's why you have to know how to pray. You need discernment when it comes down to dating and to choosing your mate. It's not just because he say he loved me. Look, I done gotten caught up in a lot of that. He say he loved me. Okay.
Yeah, he loves you. I tell my granddaughter, I used to tell my daughter, you know, a guy tell you I love you. How do he love you and he don't even know you?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's going to tell you whatever he can do to get the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And how much does he love you after he get that cookie?
Right. You have some. Yeah. Yeah. The phone stop ringing. You don't hear from them as much and all that. Yeah. Because what they refer to as the natural instinct of the hunter has been satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what men fail to realize is that particular part of a woman, that is something that's so sacred, and I don't think it should be violated, but it's violated on a daily basis. And that's something, if you tell me you love me, or if I tell you I love you, and I give you that part of me, that's because I'm willing to share that particular portion of myself, which is basically almost my entire being, because that's, you know, that's where I reproduce. If I was still having babies or whatever, that's how I, you know, manifest myself. And men don't, they don't think about that part when it comes down to a woman. It's just, you know, I, if I can get it, I'm going to get it. But they don't think about how sacred that particular part of a woman is. So dating, booed up and dating in the church, I believe if you're going to date in the church, it should be somebody that you are that you have been attracted to, and that you're looking for more than just dating. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you found that one, you're dating, you know, and things are going well. You know, this is where what they talk about a child not being raised by just the home, but, you know, the village. And I believe personally, I believe that, and I really feel this wholeheartedly, that it requires the village to help a relationship when it first starts. excuse me. So you're not by yourself. It creates mentoring. It creates accountability. You know, because accountability helps keep us in check. And like I said earlier, when you're sneaking around doing stuff, you know, there's no accountability there. But if you meet someone, whether it is, you know, in Safeway grocery store, you know, wherever you meet them at, Macy's, you know, at the gas station, there should be enough respect and enough about that individual where they are not such. Let me nail this down. They're not an introvert where they can't meet your family and friends.
Yeah.
They can't come around your people, or you won't go around their people, because that's where you do find out a lot about an individual through the social environment.
That's it. And if you can't say, if you meet, you got a guy and you can't go, like you said, to his house, or something is wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiding something. If you can never go over to his house and never, something ain't right with that.
Vice versa. And, you know, and certainly if you're not trying to hang around, you know, and have a conversation, I think men and women need to be able to vocalize and have a conversation, not just between themselves. You know, you can only talk when we're in the car driving. You only can talk when we, you know, you whispering at the restaurant. What about when you're in a social setting?
Yeah.
You know, can you have a conversation with the people that you
are that's around you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That exposes some things.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. So, you know, is there anything wrong with dating or meeting? And I think this has been, this actually been answered, but, you know, they have tried to limit, you know, that if you're dating or looking for someone, that you talk to someone that is within your local, assembly. But there may not be a selection there, you know, in your local assembly, the availability. And so then you look, and that individual may be of a different religious belief than you are. How do you approach that? How do you handle that? You've talked, and then when this conversation came up about what you believe, you may have a different view than them.
Yeah, that's a toughie right there. Because we all know what the word says about being unequally yoked. So we don't, oh, wow, that's a good one.
You know, because that, I mean, you're walking out of the store and your eyes meet and it's a polite gesture that goes on. Next thing you know, you're sitting down having a conversation and everything is all well. They're mature. They're handling things. You know, there is no, they not trying to be slick about anything. But then you get to that bridge where there is a difference in what they and how they view and what they've been taught.
Yeah, that's a toughie right there.
Well, I know of someone of apostolic faith that married a Baptist.
How did it work? It worked out.
They're still married.
Hey,
well. He did start going to church with her.
Mm-hmm. So she was the apostolic?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, because that is that again, that's one of those areas where that have been stamped as taboo.
What about Church of God in Christ?
Or full gospel.
Yep. When you come down to Buddhism and
right, the philosophies and all of that stuff.
What's the other ones? The knock on your door? Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, I be knocking on people's door, inviting them.
That's called witnessing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not knocking anybody's religion because people are going to believe what they believe and I'm going to believe what I believe. I mean, personally, if I met somebody and this man was interested in me and he showed his interest and we have talked and we have discussed our differences and we have come to some type of agreement. I mean, I don't know.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, it's very hard.
That's a hard one.
Well,
because you don't know the heart of the person. So even though they may, that's just kind of like you said, Elder, as long as, you know, the beliefs are not just way off the left side of the world, maybe. I don't know. That's a hard one.
I mean,
because unfortunately we're taught different ways, different, you know, beliefs, and we're taught a certain way, or you know, that you shouldn't hook up with this kind of person. And that's, I don't know. That's a rough one.
But you also have people that are not in church, you know, let's say, when I say not in church, I mean, they are not in the brotherhood. They are not, you know, they may go to church seasonally because they believe in God, but they're not what you would call a practicing Christian. And when I say practicing Christian, I'm talking about when the church doors open at 7 o'clock, they're there,
yeah.
You know, Sunday morning, they're there. You know, but yet they strongly believe you're not going to deter them and make them think that there is no God, but they don't go like you. And actually they may have a little resentment about dating someone that is like that. And that's Mama J touched on that, because when you, there is something about when you say who you are, it might spike or spark a little interest or being impressed for that slight moment, but then there's probably a zillion thoughts that cross their mind because of knowing that there is a particular lifestyle that you are that you're in, that you're involved in, because this is a lifestyle.
He dropped me like a hot potato. Let's just say he dropped me like a hot potato.
Dropped you like he dropped you like it was a stolen car, huh?
Yep. He was like, "You're not for me." And you know what? I wasn't.
That's right. That's right.
He wasn't worthy of you. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Now our time is closing, and you know, we've spent some, this has been a great discussion, and matter of fact, this is going to air later on KKLA during our evening, our Saturday night session, as far as this discussion. So those that are listening, those that are on KKLA can hear and know, you know, we like talking about having real conversations about things that are going on, and by no means are we experts. We're just kicking things around and real conversation that real people have. Should married women and single women hang out? What is the pros and cons of that?
Well, you know, I told you about that one. I can go by the men. So, I know people that married people that go on separate vacations. They go, you know, the guy go with his friends and the lady go with her friends. And then when you go on separate vacations, to me, when you go on separate vacations, majority of the guys that you go out with on the vacation are probably going to be single guys. And single guys are going to do what single guys do. And then some of them, you know, are going to, you know, you know, guys, hey, you know, what they don't know, they ain't going to hurt them. You know, put yourself in a predicament where you shouldn't be there anyway.
Okay, but, you know, let's back up. Let's not go on a vacation, but let's just should marry and single people hang out. You know, one time we were at a graduation celebration, and there was some other married couple that was there. An older married couple. I won't say no more than that. But and I said, hey, let's go to Harold and Bill's, you know, and which I think is Harold and Bill's. I love Harold and Bill's.
Why you didn't tell me about it?
Well, you know what? I didn't think I wish I would have, you know. But that couple's response, that person's response was like, well, we think it's Harold and Bill's is a romantic place and it's for couples. I'm like, get out of here.
So, oh, no, no couple place.
Right.
It's so little in there, you can't hardly.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I never asked them to do nothing else from that day.
That's just the eatery.
Right. It's just the eatery. That's like, yeah. But that it was weird, you know, that I didn't anticipate them saying that, because I'll just give it to you like this. I asked for the pros and cons of it. That's a, you know, the scripture says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And you have to look at the fact that it, first of all, someone is looking because it said they're finding.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it says that she is a wife, which means that there has been preparation. She is in a ready mode, a certain state of being.
Yeah.
And so for that to occur, there had to be or should have been some type of mentorship.
All right.
So, you know, so that's where the mature married women, I'm going to say they mature because they have an understanding of that, is where the married women teach the single or the younger women how to be prepared, how to conduct themselves, at least arm them. What, you know, we can arm people, but what they do with it, you know, it's like giving somebody a weapon to fight with. And then when the fight comes, they drop the weapon and run. It's what you do with what you have, you know. So there is a time where that from that side, you know, that side of the fence need to cross over the gate. They need to cross through the gate and talk to individuals, you know, that they can talk to. Everybody can't talk to everyone, but those that can and allowed to can always be of some good advice to someone that's dating, someone that's you know, want to get into dating or crossing that path or on that path, to be some type of encouragement to help keep things straight.
Yeah. Ain't making that noise.
All right. Mama J, you good?
I'm good. Thank you, gentlemen. Hopefully, well, I've learned something. So hopefully we all got something out of whatever was being said. So I just, you know, I appreciate
you being there, you know, get another side, another view.
Absolutely. I don't think we could have properly touched the tip of this iceberg without her, you know, and that perspective. So, and not just in this area, but there are so many more. So of course, you know, Mama J, you always have an open invitation. I feel the brothers would agree to that.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, to be part of the men focus group. You know, the Bible tells us that God created both male and female. So in order to have a proper balance, we need the view of what you have, you know, and certainly Hamp, that goes for Hamp to Hamp as well.
Amen. I will let her know.
Okay. All right. You know,
she be sometimes sitting up here itching to say something.
Chimed in.
Yeah, we want your queen. Look, you're a king and queen. We want you to chime in and to, you know, for her to say something. Don't be sitting back holding back.
All right. I'll let her, she ain't here today, but I would definitely let her know.
Oh yeah, you know, and so as we come to a close on this evening, as far as our discussion and what we were talking about, for those that joined in late, we was talking about the church boo, or being booed up, you know, relationship in the church and how we are to conduct ourselves. You know, we're not rigid, but at the same time, we're not putting our soul in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that people do not need their emotions played with. Gentlemen and ladies, we're not looking to be praying. We're not looking to be preyed upon. You know, we're looking for and hoping our children as well have a legitimate relationship that's going to lead to something long lasting. You know, beavers choose a mate and they stay with that mate for the rest of their lives. And so we're not going to be outdued by animals. You know, people, you know, we can't control what someone else do, but we certainly can control what we do. And Amen. That's the most important thing. And that's what we're going to be held accountable for, is what we do in this body. You know, and I just want to encourage those that are listening, if you should see someone, whether it is in the church, outside the church, and you have some sort of interest, you know, that maybe there's a possibility, you know, go to someone in leadership, you know, put your feelers out there to find out if that is a bridge that you want to cross. Because if you got a majority saying, don't go down that path, don't you go.
Yeah.
Stay away from them. If the pastor say no, then the answer is no. Don't look at them and say, you're trying to control my life. That is the responsibility of the shepherd, is to protect the sheep. Make sure to get the parasites off you. If you fleece, you know, you done got all woolly and stuff, and you know, wool start to cover your eyes. You can barely walk. You can't run. You know, next thing you know, you done fell in a ditch and you in trouble. You know, that's what the shepherd is there to protect you and to make sure that those things don't happen. And you will appreciate the advice that the shepherd gives you, or that yay or nay. You know, you may not understand what that no is in that moment, and it might even pinch you a little.
Yeah.
But you'll find out later that it was to your best interest that you adhere to what was being said. Listen, this is men focus. And I'm going to ask Mama Jada to close us out as we have now come to an end of our time. You know, want everybody to be blessed. Thank you again for joining us as we are back
on, yes,
Thursdays at 6 p.m. to talk about what's happening, you know, in our lives. Mama Jay?
Amen. Father, we thank you. Amen. Am I closing out with prayer?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this podcast. We thank you for all that has been said. God, hallelujah. We just ask that you continue to lead and guide your people. Lord, as we speak to those that are in, hallelujah, in question about dating, about being booed up or what have you, God, let us give our mouths the words to say. Lord, teach us what to do according to your will and according to your good pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Men Focus will be back on next Thursday at 6 p.m. You can from the link, I'm sure that you can see a lot of other podcasts that goes on, that which is from the church inside the pages. But until then, be blessed. You know, tell somebody what you heard. Share it with someone. Tell somebody about it. And certainly we want you to participate. Don't just be a spectator. This isn't a football game, basketball, baseball game, but you can participate in what's going on. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.